I'm at the Meaning Conference in Brighton, and I'm with Luis Suarez, who works at IBM, who's kind of known as being an internal revolutionary. That's, I think that's one of your where you're described. You haven't used email for years. Thanks for talking to us, Luis. And I know you're giving the final talk today about a collaborative future. And I was just wondering what the kind of highlights of what is a collaborative future within an organisation?
Well, thanks for inviting me. You know, my presentation later on is going to be around showing people how we need to start breaking ourselves loose from the status quo, how certain things have been done in corporate organizations, how we need to go from a mentality of a need to know basis, so that I only share information and knowledge with you when you need to know, not anything else, versus provoking more of a culture of sharing everything publicly by default unless you have been told otherwise. So a collaborative future is where instead of holding and protecting your knowledge, you actually share it on your own initiative. Mm-hmm. You embark on a rather intense learning experience when you see that everyone else is sharing their knowledge, their experiences, their know-how, and we go into a world where we become a lot more open, a lot more transparent, and a lot more collaborative per se, because instead of trying to find our way fighting our colleagues, what we do is we actually try to help each other get the job done at the end of the day. And the best way of doing that, in the sense of how can I help you, is I will help you as much as I can, but you first need to tell me what it is that you're working on. Mm-hmm. So a collaborative future is one where we stop hiding. We actually take ownership and responsibility for what we do. And the best way of doing that is by using all of these social networks and all of these social technologies to ensure that people understand how when we set ourselves to the task of getting our work done, we can no longer do it alone. Mm-hmm. We need to collaborate with people to do it. And the reason why is that is because today we work in an environment where we can no longer do the tasks alone. We need to depend always on other people. Mm-hmm. So the best way of getting your job done is to actually look for that collaborative aspect of how you can narrate your work, so you become more transparent, and therefore you invite also people to do what I feel is the most critical aspect of the collaborative future, which is basically build trustworthy working relationships. And my mantra is that is you know, we have a tendency to work with the people who we trust the most.
Yeah.
And in order for us to build trust, we need to share. And if we don't share, we don't trust each other. So the collaborative future, especially in a corporate environment, needs to break the status quo of protecting and holding knowledge and more into opening and sharing knowledge.
Okay. Can I just pick up on one point in that? Is there an inherent blocker in all of that, which is management? The idea that, you know, people have to feel that they have something to share in the first place. Is that an issue in becoming more collaborative?
It is the biggest issue, because with management you have control. And one of the biggest issues that is preventing a collaborative future is that people do not want to release control. There is this mantra that knowledge is power. So if you release your knowledge, you release your power. My job is to actually show everyone that it's knowledge shared that is power. That the more you share, the more visible you make yourself, the more powerful you become, because through merit and reputation, you will get people to help you do your job much better. Mm-hmm. The biggest challenge there is certainly that management notion that we can certainly not go ahead and release our information, our knowledge, because we want to have that control, we want to have that power. What I have always told people is that if you are a manager, if you want to become a leader of the 21st century, you will need to release control. And you will need to learn how to release control. It's not easy, it's a huge challenge, but the payoff is tremendous. And that's actually something I'm going to be talking about later on this afternoon, which is fixing what I think is the number one business problem right now. Regardless of whatever everyone has said, I feel that it will help us solve that number one business problem, which is basically employee and customer disengagement.
Okay, my second final question really was around how you actually learn in your role in your organisation. Has that changed, and how do you find out the things that you need to know to do what you do?
Right. So I've been in the company for 15 years. So I have tried both formal and informal learning, in the sense that, you know, there used to be a time when I was sent off onto a classroom for a 1 week course. I did that, I learned whatever I had to learn, and then I came back to do my job. I have stopped doing that for about 11 years now. And the way that I do that is I have understood that my learning is no longer my learning, it's my network's learning. So what my network's learn is what I learn. So what I do is I try to expose as much knowledge about what I know as I possibly can. So that helps me with my networks build the interest areas that I find really fascinating to go and talk about. So, you know, to give you an example of how it would work for me, so earlier on this morning while we were here in the conference, a couple of people who were in the conference, they tweeted a couple of articles on why email is the biggest productivity killer, right? I didn't read those articles. I didn't know about those articles. Yet they told me, hey, there's something for you there to learn about.
Yeah.
And I read those articles and I thought, like, that's a smashing. I mean, you're telling me at this conference that there's something new for me to learn while I'm at the conference, right? That's my new learning, right? Some people call it informal learning. Other people call it social learning. I just basically call it learning because that's what we have done for thousands of years. We don't learn for being sent off in a classroom. We learn by interacting with people in the current environment and context that we're in. So what we're doing is instead of being sent off elsewhere, this new kind of learning, what is actually helping us is in our surrounding, in our context, in our daily interactions, by just sharing that knowledge, we're actually learning tremendous amount of information and knowledge that we didn't have before. Now, the biggest challenge of doing that is that you need to learn about being flexible, in the sense that you're going to be exposed to waves of learning that you never thought that you would ever be exposed about. And the most important one is that you need to live and learn as well how we all have got limitations. And that by acknowledging your limits and your limitations, you're actually opening up the door to learn even more, right? Because that's when you admit to the world that you don't know it all, that you're not perfect, that you have got areas that you could always improve. And that certainly helps build much more meaningful and purposeful learning paths, because you understand that there are always gaps that you need to fill in. Well, I'm always looking for those gaps, which is what I always go into my networks, and I depend on my networks to tell me, this is what I want you to learn today. They don't say it, but at the end of the day is, okay, so what have I learned from my networks today? And I kind of like do like a quick sum up or whatever.
Okay.
And they tell me, you know, today we learned about this, that, we got this job done, we shared this particular piece of knowledge. And that's what my new learning has been so far. Now, people tell me, okay, so will that destroy traditional learning? No. I think there is a place for traditional learning, you know, like formal learning.
Yeah.
However, I do think that that's probably around 5% of all of the learning that we do, right? And then some of the times I get people who come to me and question, I say, okay, so can you keep a job by doing social learning and forget about all of that formal learning or whatever? And I keep telling people, I've been in the company doing that for 11 years, and I'm still there. So it might be working.
Yeah. Luis Suarez, thanks very much.
My pleasure, anytime. Thank you.